yo, yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Greg Lunt, and it is March 6th, 2019, and it is hump day. We're halfway through the week and just got home. It's about 8 o'clock. Well, I didn't just get home. I got home like an hour ago. I went to the gym, and now I'm home, like, relaxing. And by relaxing, I mean recording and editing a podcast. And then I have a little bit of work to do for my dad, you know, just trucking through. I haven't really stopped for a minute now. I was in San Francisco this weekend, and shout out to my brother who ran in the Napa Valley Marathon, full 26.2 miles, the whole shebang. He was training for a few months, and then I think like the last month or so, his training kind of fell off. And low-key, I was worried. I was like, this kid's definitely going to get injured because he's built exactly like me, you know, like frail, frail as fuck. Like, our bones, dude, we got no bone density. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's because we're vegan and we don't drink milk or but I was always like that, you know. I was always kind of, my bones just really didn't. If I played sports too much, I was good at them, and then I would just get hurt at some point. You know, I'd tweak this, I'd sprain that. And so with him, you know, not preparing fully, I mean, he could run 10 miles like pretty easily, but 26.2 is a whole other beast. And I think in preparation, he only ran, I think the most was like 17 or 18 miles. It's supposed to rain. He ended up finishing 370th out of about 1700 runners, and he was 29th out of 107 for males between the age of 25 and 29. Finished the 26.2 in 3 hours and 50 minutes. So I mean, we just gotta clap it up for the dude, clap it up for the kid. I mean, dude, you know, my parents flew in for it. So we got a hotel room just near the starting line, so it wasn't too bad. He had to get up at like 4:30 in the morning, you know, get checked in at 5:30, and then they set up, and the race starts at like 7:30. And there were all these checkpoints along the race where, you know, visitors and supporters like me and my parents and everyone else and whoever was supporting them could stop in along the race and kind of cheer them on. So what we did was, we went the night before, me, my dad, and my mom, and we drove the whole course. And we looked at all the places where you're allowed to stop. And we decided, okay, these are the ones that we're gonna hit. And, you know, do we have time to get there? Because you have to drive all the way around and because they shut down the road. So you have to take the long ways. And we just wanted to make sure that, you know, when we parked, we'd be able to get out there and get out in front of him and be there when he passed by. We picked about 4 or 5 spots that we were gonna do. We downloaded one of those tracker apps where we could basically see exactly where he was at any time. And so I had it on my phone and he had it on his phone, and he was running with his phone listening to music, but also running the app in the background. So we posted up and then we'd know exactly where he was and we'd see him come by, we'd cheer him on, we'd hand him some water. So the first time we saw him was at 7.5 miles, and he runs by me, and you know, that's like his comfort zone, right? He'd been training, and anything up to 10 miles, like he was pretty easy. But he ran by and he was like, he literally with a huge smile on his face, he's just like, this is the worst thing ever. I don't know why anyone would ever do this. And not because he was struggling so hard. I think he just knew how much he had left, and he was probably already, you know, slightly feeling the burn a little. So we jump back in the car and we drive to the next one, which was at the 11.5 mile mark. And we get there and he starts coming by and the app's working like a charm. We see him right around the bend and he comes by and he's flexing. You know, he's running, doing like the one up, one arm up, one arm down kind of flex and flipping those, you know what I mean? Like one fist up, one fist down. And so we're laughing and he says no to the water and he keeps running. And I'm like, all right. You know, the next one was at 16. So I was like, we'll see how cocky he is there. So we get to the 16 and he comes around the corner, man, and his face is red and he's drenched in sweat and he is not happy. He doesn't smile. He doesn't say anything. He takes the water and he's running and I just see him chugging, and then he's running and he chugs the rest. throws the cup off to the side, and we jump back in the car to get to 18 and a half miles. And we get there, and the same deal. He just like grabs the water, not happy. And they didn't have any more checkpoints in between 18 and a half and the final. And so I was like, damn, dude, he's got, you know, about 8 miles here on his own. Good luck, my guy. So we jump in the car. We head down to the finish line, which was at the local high school. And they had a really good setup. I mean, the race was done so fucking well. There were no hiccups at all. And the finish line was dope. They were like yelling everyone's name. Not yelling. They were, you know, saying everyone's name over the intercom with their age and their town as they were coming around the final bend. I guess they must have had someone planted, you know, 500 feet before the bend, and they were looking at their number that they had across their chest. They'd probably relay that to somebody who then had time to look it up and announce who they were over the loudspeaker. And then when you were done, they had, you know, the works. They had the food and the massage tables and the drinks and the medals, and everything was just really, really well done. They even had the stats for it up like a couple hours after the event. Everything was great. But anyway, then all of a sudden he stops moving on the app, and it's like kind of creeping along. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm like, he must be walking. You know, he's about three and a half miles out. He must be fucking exhausted. I was just like, I hope he didn't sprain something or, you know, hurt his foot or tweak his knee or some shit like that. Cause it was lightly drizzling, and it was actually really nice conditions. You know, if you're thinking about 50, 55 degrees and like a light rain, like a mist, it's actually pretty nice to run in. It keeps you cool. But at the same time, like, you just never know, you could slip or something. And so I got a little nervous, but we ended up waiting there. So it took about like 30, 40 minutes, but then he started to pick back up again when he was like a mile out. And I was like, all right, here he comes. So, you know, he came around the final bend and he finished strong. And then he kind of just went over to the fence and laid down on the concrete and put his legs up on the fence. So they were up in the air. He's like, I got to get the lactic acid out. And, you know, they came over and took a picture of him while he's on the ground like that. But he was cracking jokes and he wasn't hurt. And, you know, he finished in under 4 hours, which was phenomenal. And I'm really proud of him. It was really, really cool. And I knew he was going to finish. It was never a doubt whether or not he was going to finish, because he's got a really, really tough mind. And when he sets his mind to something, he's going to do it. That's also what made me nervous, you know, because there was no way he was going to quit. So even if he was hurt, I thought he was going to run through it. And if you've ever heard of David Goggins, and if you haven't, look him up. But if you know, he talks about this race he ran, 100-mile race, and he had broken both his feet by like the 70th mile, and he finished like 30 miles, broken feet, like the whole thing. And he's just like this warrior, right? And so Andrew actually had David Goggins' motivational stuff lined up in his headphones for when it got tough. And he said he put it on and it just made it so much worse, because he was like, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be, you know, dark and deep and death. And like, so he had to shut it off and just put on, you know, the light electronic music back on. But I knew Andrew would go there. He would take it there if he needed to. And so luckily he stayed healthy. He finished, you know, we got some food and we hung around for like an hour or two and just, you know, he recouped. And, I only flew in Saturday morning, and then I flew back Sunday night. I got home around like 11. I took my cold shower like I've been doing every night, and went to work in the morning. So didn't really have that much time off this weekend, but now I'm back. I'm back at it. And today I went to lunch with one of the co-founders of my company. Nicely set aside some time to meet me and go out with me and my boss. And really interesting guy, really down-to-earth guy. Really smart. He's really a learner, and he's really organized. And I had a really good conversation with him. He's just interesting. You know, I like meeting interesting people and talking to them. So we had a really nice lunch, and we went to this place called Grain Lab, and they have a couple good vegan dishes. So I got like a quinoa with broccoli and avocado and carrots, and it was good. And then I got, you know, you got to get the sweet potato fries on the side. So and then I got a kombucha to drink. So I kind of went in. So thank you, Tom, for covering that. But, it was great to talk. And, they wanted to play some video games tonight, but I think they were in meetings kind of late. So I dipped out at like 6:45. Speaking of that, I got to sit in on a really cool meeting for a festival that it looks like we're going to help out with. It's called the Festival. And I don't know if I'm allowed to really say what it's called, because I don't know if they probably haven't signed the actual deal yet. So I'm not going to say what it's called. But basically what they're doing is combining a music festival with a gaming festival. And it's really cool. They got like some really big name artists on it, like really big names. And so it was cool. I would love to help out a little bit more with that. We'll see how involved I can get. But yeah, so, you know, things are going at work. It's busy. It's long hours. So what else is going on with me? I got ghosted again. So the two girls that I was hanging out with are now, unless she hits me up today, which it doesn't look like she's going to. So I'm back to, you know, back to square one there. And that's how it goes, you know, the ups and downs with the women. Sometimes you got a few in the works and then sometimes you got nothing. So I messaged this girl. Basically, she came over last week. And when did she come over? Friday night? Thursday night? One of those nights. And she comes over after work. She was bartending. It was Thursday night. She comes over at like 11 o'clock. And we're hanging out for like 10 minutes, start making out. I don't know if I should be talking about this. She's like, hey, I just want you to know that, like, I don't want to have sex tonight. You know, I feel like a lot of times, like, it becomes too sexual and then, you know, people don't really want to, like, it doesn't go anywhere else. You know what I mean? And so I was just like, oh, like, damn. I was like, you're looking for a relationship or like, what's your deal? And she's like, yeah, like I decided that that's what I want. And I'm like, all right. I was like, I mean, honestly, I don't have like space for that right now. But I totally respect that. And then she's like, wow, like, no, you know, that's so cool that you're just like honest about it. Like most guys would lie and da da da. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, it is what it is. I'm not going to tell you the truth. Of course, I'm not going to tell you that I want a relationship, you know, just so we could have sex. So I'm like, why don't we go like sit down and just chill? Cause she came over. I mean, she was going to hang out. She's like, yeah, let's watch like a podcast or something. So I'm like, cool. So we actually ended up putting on some Dane Cook, like some old school Dane Cook, from back in the day. So good, so good. And she was cracking up and she'd never seen him before. Cause she's younger and she wasn't around when Dane was killing it back in like 2006, 7, 8, you know, I mean, she was around fucking Jesus Christ. She was around, but she wasn't listening to Dane Cook, let's say. So, and then, you know, next thing you know, we're playing around and so I was like, why even bring it up if you're just gonna, and I wasn't like I forced anything. It was, she actually was asked, telling me like that's what she wanted. So I was like, you know, just pick your poison, right? Like I'm down for whatever. I just wanted to chill and have a good time. And I think it's just immaturity maybe a little bit, or it's like, you know, it's a shit test is really what it is. It's like, I decided that I want a relationship and so no sex tonight. And I'm like, and then they want to see how you react. So like whether they do that consciously or subconsciously, they just want to see like how you fuck with that. Like some guys might be like, oh, come on, and get angry. Some guys might, I want a relationship or like whatever. I was just like telling her the truth. And I guess after that, she was able to just get over it or something. But I would just say, like, for guys and girls, just know what you actually want and don't say some shit just to try and get a reaction. Like, just be real. So whatever, we had a good time. And then, but then, you know, I guess the weekend set in and I hit her up. I told her I was going to San Francisco. I hit her up next week. And then I hit her up on Tuesday, yesterday morning. And I was like, good morning. Like, cause she has Wednesdays off. I'm like, if you want to hang out tomorrow night, like I'm down to come to you. Just like, let me know what's up. And then no answer. So makes sense. You know, she had the weekend to sleep on it and she was like, she did it. She wanted a relationship probably. That was it. So that's two, the last two girls, they're gonzo. So now we're back to the apps, but I don't really have a ton of time right now. That's the thing. Cause I'm doing the full-time job and then I'm doing the side hustle. And so as far as the side hustle goes, things are going really well. I talked a little bit about the developer that I brought on, and now we also brought on a really, really cool UX UI designer who is very accomplished, and she is very sweet, and the three of us have really good chemistry. And so we'll see where that goes. I was down in Santa Monica last night and we were working and then got dinner. I didn't leave till like 11 p.m. So it's just those kind of days, man. It's like wake up at 8, go to bed at midnight, and I'm pretty much just working the whole time. So that's going to happen again tonight. It's 8:20 right now. After this, I'm going to do some work for my dad, and then I have some more side project work to do. So yeah, everything's going great. Chugging along here. And staying motivated, staying hungry. I know everything is going to fall into place in due time. And I'm just excited. And, shout out to J-Con, who, if you're listening, bro, appreciate the Masters of Scale recommendation. If you guys listen to other podcasts, which I assume you do, because who listens to just the unnamed podcast? Masters of Scale with Reid Hoffman, who is the CEO of LinkedIn, just monster beast. It's a podcast about how to scale companies quickly, and what they're doing, the way that they're producing it, it's very cool. Like if you listen to Freakonomics or Serial and stuff like that, it's like that in the way they produce it, but there's something about it that stands out to me, and I have to put my finger on it a little bit more, but they're very clever with the music. They don't overuse it. They put sound effects in the right spots. They mix in who they're interviewing in a very cool way. Their advertisements are seamless. And so it's inspiring me for when I start my next podcast, which, you know, I've been talking about other podcasts and ideas for that for, you know, since I started this. I've been talking about, you know, what's a podcast that I could do that's actually a produced podcast, whereas this is me just pretty much rambling. I think this is one of the first podcasts, this Masters of Scale podcast, that I want to take a lot of what they're doing and try and take a lot of learnings from that and copy that because it's really impressive and it's really cool. So thank you, J-Con, for that. And thank you all for listening. I love you. And that's going to do it for episode 69, by the way. Okay, I am 32 years old. Good night, everybody. I love you. And I will talk to you next week. Peace out.